Welcome to the inaugural episode of No Flags, No Filter, where we break down the NFL without any sugarcoating, no flags, and no holds barred. I'm your host, William Masucci.
And I'm Brett Jenks.
And today we've got a jam-packed show for you. We've got predictions, bold takes, and a whole lot of football insight coming your way. First up, we're diving into our game-by-game predictions. We'll go through all the matchups this week and give you our take on who's got the edge. No fan bias here, just cold, hard analysis. Then, we're going to be switching gears to underdogs of the year. Both Brett and I are going to pick some potential surprise teams and players that defy expectations, and we're going to highlight who we think could be the big surprise this year. Then finally, we're going to wrap things up today with award predictions. Who do you guys think is taking home the MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, and all the other hardware? We've got some bold picks, so don't go anywhere. It's going to be a fun one, so sit tight, grab your snacks, and let's get into it. This is No Flags, No Filter. Let's go. All right, so starting off the NFL season this Thursday, Brett and I are going to start with our game predictions for the Philly versus Dallas matchup. Me first. Obviously, I think the Cowboys, they're going to be struggling pretty mightily on defense with the loss of Micah Parsons. I'm definitely looking for a big game from the Eagles offense. I think A.J. Brown is ready for a monster year this year. All the pieces are in place for that team. I think Saquon's going to have another monster year. And I'd say give me the Eagles 34-14.
No, that's solid. That's solid. I don't know about Saquon having a solid year. I feel like the Madden curse could be a real possibility here. I don't know. George Pickens obviously on the team for the Cowboys this year, and I feel like that's a big addition. The loss of Micah is large for, like, stopping their pass and getting pressure with Jalen Hurts, and I don't know. I do like the Cowboys' offense. The run game is not there, but if Dak can deliver the ball, I think they have a chance to win this game. So I'll go 27-24 Cowboys.
Yeah, and I do want to add, I am looking for a big game from CeeDee Lamb. All right, moving on to the Friday game in Brazil. We got the Chiefs versus the Chargers at 8 p.m. this Friday. And I think this is going to be a really close one, guys. Really close. You know, you got a great quarterback matchup with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. Looking for a big game from Ladd McConkey, potentially. And I think he could be what helps the Chargers edge this one out. And I think I'm going to take the Chargers 27-21.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Ladd McConkey, but I was going to go Omarion Hansen, the running back. He's a dog. Okay. I will say you can't really play against the Chiefs here. They always find a way to win, whether it's the refs or whether it's just actually them winning. It just messed me up. You can't find a way against them winning, so I don't know about the Chargers winning, but give me Chiefs 21-14.
All right, moving on to our Sunday matchups now. We're going to start off with the Buccaneers at Atlanta. Now, Atlanta's a team I'm really excited about this year, you know. I think Michael Penix could take a really big jump this year. He's got a lot of great pieces in place for him. I'm looking for a monster year from Drake London, Bijan Robinson, but also the Tampa Bay Bucs are coming off of an amazing season. Baker's coming off of a monster season. I think this is going to be a close one. You know, the line's only 2.5, but I think I'm going to give Atlanta the edge at home here, but I think these teams will definitely split this year. But give me Atlanta 27-14.
Baker Mayfield is that dude. He is in Tampa now. After all the rough seasons he had, I feel like he can get this done, even in Atlanta. He has Emeka Egbuka, who's going to be a dog. He has Mike Evans. He's a dog. Chris Godwin, when he gets back, he'll be healthy and he'll be good to go. This Tampa Bay offense is going to be very, like, good. Bucky Irving running the ball. They have a good O-line. The defense might struggle, but I think Tampa's going to win 34-21.
All right. All right, now moving on to Bengals at Browns. Now, obviously, I think I'm going to definitely go with the Bengals here. You know, I think they're going to be, as long as the offensive line holds up, they might be unstoppable on offense this year. Now, I am a little bit worried about the Bengals' defense this year. You know, they had a historically bad defense this year. And, you know, I don't think I saw a ton of improvement on that defense. They did at least bring Trey Hendrickson back. And, I mean, but it is the Browns at the end of the day, and I think the Browns are going to be in contention for that number one pick this year. So give me the Bengals in a high-scoring game, 38-17.
Yeah, you mentioned Trey Hendrickson, and there's also Shamar Stewart coming. He finally got him signed. So, I don't know. The Bengals do always start off their season cold. I mean, they lost the Patriots last year, and no one thought they were going to be good. Drake May wasn't even playing. So, I think the Bengals will win, but I would not be surprised to see if it's close as it is.
All right, now moving on to the Miami game at the Colts this Sunday. These are two teams I'm a little low on for this year. You know, I don't know if I love the Daniel Jones decision. Obviously, Anthony Richardson wasn't cutting it there, but I don't know if Daniel Jones is going to be their guy. And moving on to Miami, they're going to have a high-powered offense if Tua can stay healthy, but can Tua stay healthy? I don't love the Dolphins' offensive line. I think they have some big holes at tackle. And I also don't love the Dolphins' defense. I specifically do not love their DBs. But still, give me the Dolphins here in a low-scoring game, 17-10.
Yeah, Miami's offense is really explosive. They have big plays they can get. They have Tyreek Hill, Devon Achane, Jalen Waddle. I mean, it's just all about Tua, and can he deliver the ball and get them the ball in space to make plays. Defensively, they have Minkah Fitzpatrick this year, right? That helps them. Kind of Jalen Ramsey and Minkah just trade is kind of unimportant defensively. They just lost Jonnu Smith, though. So I would not be surprised to see the Colts win this game 13-10, but I think Miami should win.
All right, now moving on to the Vegas-New England matchup, and they're playing in New England. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I really like the Patriots this year. I think they did a lot of great work in the offseason, pretty much rebuilding this team from the ground up. I think Ashton Jeanty is going to have a little bit of his welcome to the NFL moment. I don't think he's going to do much this weekend against New England's defensive front. I think they're going to be pretty stout on defense this year. And I think the additions of Diggs and Travion Henderson can really take Drake May to the next level. And give me the Patriots here, 21-14.
Yeah, I mean, the over-under is 43.5. I'm taking the under on that the whole time. I mean, I don't think this is going to be a very high-scoring game at all. New England's defense is really good. Their offense, we'll see. I mean, there's a lot to be desired there. Pete Carroll's first time in Las Vegas, so I don't know. He has Jeanty, and Jeanty is giving Marshawn Lynch 2.0 kind of thing, but we have to figure that out and see how he does. I think the Patriots are going to win 17-10.
All right, now next up we got the Cardinals going to New Orleans in their week one matchup. Now, the Saints are just their hot mess this year. They got nothing really going for them. All of their talent on their roster is aging. Guys in their early to mid-30s. I think they're really going to have to lean on Alvin Kamara this year because they're starting quarterback Spencer Rattler, and he just sucks. And on the other hand, I'm pretty excited about the Cardinals. I think this could be a little bit of a surprise year for Kyler. Obviously, I think Trey McBride's going to have another big year, and I think they're pretty underrated on defense. So I'm going to say give me Arizona 21-7.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I think that Kyler Murray could have a breakout year. Then the Cardinals' offense could have a breakout year. James Conner is still producing relatively well at his old age for running backs. And I feel like... What? Pen? No.
Talk, Brett.
No, I agree with you. I think the Cardinals' offense could definitely win. Kyler Murray is... can play at an elite level, but definitely last year was a down year for him. The Saints don't have anything. They don't have anything. They're in cap hell. They don't have anything to do, so they just have to wait this out in this bad period for them. Give me the Cardinals 24-7.
I like that take. And I also want to add, I think Marvin Harrison is set up for a monster sophomore year this year.
Oh, yeah.
So look forward to that.
Yep.
All right, now moving on, we got Aaron Rodgers, a little bit of a homecoming, coming back to New York with Pittsburgh at the Jets. Now, I think these are two pretty interesting teams this year. You know, I think the Steelers added a lot of talent with Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf. You know, they're still pretty good on defense. I think the Steelers could be a little bit scary this year, but it's all just going to depend on how Rodgers can play and if he can stay healthy. And on the other hand, with the Jets, I don't love Justin Fields being their guy. you know, I think he's proven to be a little bit of a one-dimensional player. But I do love New York's defense. And I also love a lot of the talent that they have actually surrounded Justin Fields with. And they brought in Aaron Glenn as their new head coach. And he was kind of a I know he was the defensive coordinator, but his offensive philosophy coming in has kind of just been run the damn ball. And I think New York's going to be doing a lot of that this year. They have a decent running back committee. I really like Breece Hall this year. Their offensive line is pretty good. And I'm going to say, in a little bit of an upset, give me the Jets in a low-scoring one, 17-14.
You know, I like the Jets pick. I really do like their new head coach, Aaron Glenn. I feel like their defense is going to be just the same as it's always been. It's been going to be really, really strong, very physical, making good plays. Sauce Gardner, see how he plays. Quinn Williams, obviously getting to the quarterback. It's their offense that really you really want to see more from. I mean, Garrett Wilson, can Justin Fields and Garrett Wilson play like they were at Ohio State? Can they do that? Can Breece Hall and Braylon Allen get the yards they need and keep on moving the chains? And can their O-line get some push up front? So, I mean, if they can do all that, they can definitely beat the Steelers, because Arthur Smith as an OC has been very shaky. He was the Falcons head coach, and that was a hot mess. That did not do anything. So, give me the Jets 24-17.
All right, now moving on to the Giants at Washington. Now, the Giants, I think they have a little bit of a messy quarterback situation right now. I don't necessarily know if Russell Wilson is the guy over Jackson Dart. I think he showed a lot in the preseason, and I think Dart's going to be their guy at some point down the line. I would really like to see Dart as a week one starter, but I understand that they got to have Russ out there for a while. I wouldn't say I'm high on the Giants, but I don't think they're going to be as bad as last year this year. I think there is a lot to look forward to with their defense. Obviously, I'm looking for a big year or two from Malik Nabers, but I still think the Giants are going to come up short in this one. Obviously, Washington coming off a big year. I don't think they're going to have as big of a year, and I still think that Washington could potentially miss the playoffs. But I still think this will be a big game from Jaden Daniels, big game from Terry, and give me Washington 21-17.
I would agree with that. I feel like everyone's now heard of the Commanders. They've heard of Jaden Daniels. They've heard of Terry McLaurin, and they're gonna be ready for him. And I don't know how their defense is gonna play against the Giants' offense. They're gonna have to focus on Malik Nabers, shutting him down, and Tyrone Tracy making sure that he can't get his yards. But their quarterbacks, they don't really have to worry about. I mean, the only thing that the Commanders have to worry about is the edge rushers, Abdul Carter, Brian Burns, and Kayvon Thibodeau. I mean, if they can get to the quarterback, this could be a long night for the Commanders. But give me the Commanders 17-14.
All right, now moving on to a pretty underwhelming matchup. We got Carolina traveling to Jacksonville. So I think Bryce Young is poised for a pretty solid third season. But I'm not super high on Carolina. I do like their offensive line. I don't know if I love the McMillan pick in the first round. And on the other hand, I think Jacksonville is being slept on a little bit this year. I think Trevor Lawrence is still their guy. I think he's going to have a pretty solid year. I'm looking for big things from Brian Thomas Jr., and I'm really excited to see Travis Hunter out there this Sunday. And I'm going to say, give me the Jags 21-10.
I'm very high on Bryce Young. I feel like he can be that guy. He's gotten better every single year. I mean, he's only been there 2 years, but it was a big jump from his rookie year and his sophomore season. I mean, you could tell it was a difference. And I feel like the Panthers culture could change here this season. This is a good game just to get it started and show that you guys can win some games. Defensively, they don't have much going for them. I mean, they have Derek Brown. They have Derek Brown's their big defensive player. J.C. Horn is pretty good, but I feel like this could be a long night for the Panthers if they don't stop Trevor Lawrence. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, that Jaguars offense could be very high-powered with Travis Hunter and Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Etienne running the ball. So I feel like the Panthers can win this game 20-14.
All right, all right. Now moving on to Tennessee and Cam Ward traveling to Denver for his first game. This is going to be a tough game for Cam Ward, hands down. Denver, quite possibly the best defense in the NFL. Traveling to Denver for your first NFL game, I really do not like this matchup for the Titans here. I think Cam Ward is going to struggle immensely this game. Be quick with this one. Give me Denver in a low-scoring game, 17-3. And I think Bo Nix has a pretty big game.
Yeah, no, Bo Nix and Sean Payton are definitely going to mesh very well. They've already been together for a year, and we saw what happened. It looked really good. They made the playoffs. They lost the Bills, but the Bills are one of the best teams in the AFC for the past couple of years, so you can't expect much. I think Bo Nix is going to play very well. He's gonna have a game that shows that he can be a top five quarterback in the league. I feel like Cam Ward could play very well. I also think he'll play like a mediocre quarterback because Pat Surtain shuts down half the field. So I don't know if he'll be able to do what he normally does at Miami, like make highlight plays like he did. Give me the Broncos 21-0.
All right, now moving on to San Fran at Seattle. I think this one's going to be a close one. I think it's going to come down to the wire. Obviously, San Francisco, they've pretty much reloaded. They're ready. They had a lot of injuries last year, but I think they're ready this year. I think Purdy's going to have a great game. I look for a really big game from Ricky Purcell this game. But I think the Seahawks defense is going to be really stout with Mike McDonald. I think Devin Witherspoon, Byron Murphy, Leonard Williams, I think they're all poised for big years. And I'm going to say give me Seattle in a close one here. I think they'll edge it out 20-17.
I like Seattle a lot. Kenneth Walker III, he's very good. Zach Charbonnet, he's very good. They have a good running back, right? They have a good running back duo. They have some pretty good receivers, JSN. They just traded DK Metcalf to the Steelers, which you lose an offensive threat there that's big. So JSN has to step up and fill that gap. They also lost Tyler Lockett. So they need a lot of receiver help right now. They need to hit JSN to step up big time for them. But their defense can definitely get it done. Give me the Seahawks 28-17.
All right, I like that pick. And I think also with the Seahawks, with their good running backs, I think they have a lot of insurance for if the Sam Darnold thing doesn't pan out. But I'm pretty confident in Sam Darnold this season. All right, and moving on to what could possibly be game of the week, we got Detroit going to Green Bay. One thing I'm interested in right off the jump is will Micah Parsons be ready? I know that he's been dealing with some injury, and also he's obviously got to learn that playbook. You guys should expect him to be out there, but will he be an impact player? Now moving on to the game, I think this is going to be a really high scoring game. I don't think Detroit's going to have as good of a year. They lost both coordinators. I don't think they're going to be as good on defense especially. And on the other hand, I think Green Bay is poised to take a pretty big jump offensively specifically. I really like the Matthew Golden pick. I think Jordan Love's going to have a huge game. I think Matthew Golden's going to have a huge game. I think Jared Goff will also play well, and I think Amon-Ra and Laporta will have big games. But I think give me Green Bay in a high-scoring one, 31-28.
I like that. That's solid. Micah Parsons, the question around him right now is can he play and can he stop the run? And I feel like the Lions have really good running backs, and the Packers just did trade Kenny Clark for Micah Parsons. So can those linebackers step up and fill the gap when they run the ball? Because Detroit had a really good running game last year with Ben Johnson. Now he's gone. Can they replicate that like that offense? Can they keep up the pressure that they had? And I don't know if they can, but I know the Packers did just make some big moves this offseason, and they want to win right now because in a couple of years, the Packers are not going to be the same team. It's like what happened with the 49ers long ago. Like they had all these good players, and they can't pay them because you have to pay Purdy. So we'll see how the Packers and Lions do. I feel like the Lions, Amon-Ra is big, J-Mo is big. They could definitely win this game. The Lions are going to have a hard time replicating the past couple seasons, but I think the Lions can definitely pull this game out 31-28.
All right, moving on to our last game in the late afternoon window before Sunday Night Football. We got Houston traveling to L.A. to play the Rams. And I'm going to go ahead and say it off the bat. I do not love the Texans this year. I really don't, especially with the news that just came out of their running back going down. I don't love the Texans. I think C.J. Stroud will play a decent game here. I think Nico Collins is going to have a monster year, but I also do not love them on defense. Now, L.A., on the other hand, Matthew Stafford just got healthy. I think this could be what could be his last year. I'm expecting a big year from him. And I really like L.A. this game. I really like their defense specifically. I'm excited to see Byron Young in year two. I'm also excited to see year three of Puka. And give me L.A. 17-10.
Yeah, I mean, when your starting right back is Nick Chubb, who's had his knee blown out two big times. I mean, it's going to be hard to run the ball, and the Rams are going to be prepared for that. They have Jared Verse, the defensive rookie of the year. They have Byron Young. They have all these good players, and I feel like it's going to be hard for the Texans to move the ball. I mean, the whole offense starts with the run, and the Rams are going to be ready for the pass. So we'll see how the Texans can do offensively. The Rams, I mean, Matt Stafford is just as good as he's always been. He's definitely a little bit of a decline, but he has Devonta Adams, he has Puka, he has Kyron Williams, and I feel like he has all the tools he needs to win 17-7.
All right, now moving on to Sunday Night Football, we got the Ravens traveling to Buffalo in what is probably the most anticipated matchup of the week. Now, we'll go team by team here, starting with Baltimore. Obviously, Lamar is going to have another big year, but I do not love the supporting cast around Lamar. You know, I think Zay Flowers is a solid weapon. I think Mark Andrews is getting up there in age. I don't know if he's going to be as reliable as he once was. I also do not love Baltimore's O-line, but at the end of the day, they have Lamar, and he's going to do his thing. Now, Baltimore on defense, I think they have the potential to be the best unit in the NFL. Now, moving on to Buffalo, I think Josh Allen is poised for potentially another MVP season. And another guy I want to point out is I think Keon Coleman could really break out this year, specifically in this game. I love the matchup for Keon Coleman. Buffalo on defense as well. I don't think they're going to be an elite unit, but I think they're going to be a pretty decent unit, potentially a top 10 unit in the NFL. And I think I'm going to give the edge to Buffalo in a close one. I think this game goes to overtime, and I think Buffalo pulls it out 27-24.
Yeah, the Ravens don't have much around Lamar offensively. I mean, Derrick Henry is very good, but he's a little old. Can he replicate the season he had last year? Can he have 2,000 yards again? Zay Flowers hasn't really been that dominant receiver. I mean, he's definitely a guy who can get some yak, but it hasn't been like he's the guy. It's sometimes Rashad Bateman, and it switches around. And I don't know how Lamar's going to do against this Bills defense, because they definitely have some guys who can make some plays. The Ravens do have the most potential on defense. I mean, Jeffrey Malachi Starks in the first round was a great pick for them. I mean, that's what they needed. Pairing him with Kyle Hamilton, who just got paid, that's going to be big. Their defensive line is pretty good. I mean, Kyle Van Noy had 12.5 sacks last year. Micah Parsons had 12, and Micah Parsons is now being paid $48 million a year, and he's being paid like nothing compared to that. Buffalo, offensively, there's also not a lot around Josh Allen, but Josh Allen just makes plays. I mean, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, James Cook, Dalton Kincaid, and Dawson Knox. I mean, that's not a stellar group when you hear it, but they all can make plays, and they all step up when they're called. The Bills can be a good unit on defense too, and I feel like they could be a force the whole year. This is a good win. If they can win this game, it's a good step forward to show that we're the best team in the league this year. But I think the Ravens have more talent. Give me the Ravens 38-31.
All right, solid take. All right, now moving on to the last game before we move on to our underdogs of the year. We got Minnesota going to Chicago. Now, right off the bat with Chicago, I don't think I can think of a player with more pressure on him this year than Caleb Williams. I mean, that team, they look really good on paper. He is just surrounded by offensive talent. You know, they brought in Colston Loveland in the first round. They got Luther Burden, Roma Dunze, DJ Moore, a talented offensive line. They brought in Drew Dahlman from the Falcons at center. He's set up for success with that offense around him. Now, I think there's just a lot of pressure on Caleb Williams, and can he be the guy can he be the guy? And honestly, I don't know that about Caleb Williams. He hasn't really shown that he's the guy yet. And I hope he proves me wrong, but I don't think he's going to be the guy this year. But I do think that the Bears will be decent this year. I don't know if they're going to have a great game, first game. I do like them on defense. I think Montez Sweat is poised for a really big year. And moving on to Minnesota, obviously Jordan Addison's gone for the first three games, suspended. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on Justin Jefferson. I think they're really going to have to lean on the run game, and specifically Aaron Jones. First game for inexperienced quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. But I think Minnesota's defense is really going to step up big this game. Give me Minnesota 21-17.
No, I like that. I like Minnesota a lot this year. I feel like J.J. McCarthy being drafted in the first round was a good pick for Minnesota at the time. I don't know how moving on from Sam Darnold will pan out. I feel like they should have kept him. I don't know. J.J. McCarthy's their guy now, and he's had a okay camp. It's been high. It's been low. You have Justin Jefferson, one of the best receivers in the league, so that helps out a lot. The running game with Aaron Jones, I don't know how that'll play. I mean, they don't wow me on offense all the time. Defensively, they're pretty good. I mean, they have all the tools they need. I really want to see the Bears do well. I really want to see Ben Johnson's offense work in Chicago like it did in Detroit. I don't know if it'll happen. They have all the weapons they need. I mean, they have the receivers. They have the running backs. Their defense is a little shaky at times, and I feel like that's where Minnesota's going to catch them. It could be a high-scoring game or it could be a low-scoring game, but I think Minnesota's going to win 27-24.
All right, and I do want to add, I think if this Ben Johnson thing pans out, and if Caleb Williams can be the guy, Chicago really has the potential to be one of the premier offense in the league, potentially the best offense in the NFL.
Oh, definitely.
And, okay, so moving on to our underdogs of the year. So, obviously, every season has the surprise teams, and Brett and I are each going to pick two teams that we think will really surprise this year. We're going to give record predictions for them. And I'm going to start us off. Okay, so right off the bat, my first underdog of the year is, I know I talked about him earlier, it's the New England Patriots. You know, they brought in Mike Vrabel. They spent a ton of money in free agency this year. And they also surrounded Drake May with some solid weapons, you know. I don't know about Stephon Diggs. I don't know if he can be his old self, but if he can, that's going to be amazing. Travion Henderson in the draft. Obviously, they drafted Will Campbell, top five, who I think is going to be a stalwart at offensive tackle for probably the next decade and a half. But I really like New England this year. I think it's all going to be on Drake May. I think he has some really good coaching this year, a really good supporting cast to lean on. And I think New England's going to surprise a lot of people. I don't necessarily think that they're going to make the playoffs just because of how competitive and stacked the AFC is going to be. But I think the Patriots really are going to be in that 8-9, 9-8 range, which is, you know, that's setting expectations a lot higher than what most people have for them. All right, now moving on to Brett.
I like the Bears a lot this year. I know that they have the second-year quarterback and they have the first-year head coach, but I feel like Ben Johnson can make the Bears a dark horse to make this playoff. I do think it all relies on Caleb Williams, and there's a lot of pressure on him, but the defense, too, also has a step up. They upgraded their O-line. They have Joe Tooney and Jonah Jackson. This could be a situation where they win the NFC North or they're bottom of the barrel in the NFC North. They made the right picks. They have Colston Loveland now. They have Cole Kmet. They have Luther Burden. They have Romo Odunze and DJ Moore. There's no reason that we shouldn't see a lot of different uses for all these receivers. And I think Caleb Williams will be the first Bears quarterback to have 4,000 passing yards this season if Ben Johnson's offense works for him.
All right, now moving on. My second offensive underdog is going to be the Atlanta Falcons. And I'm really high on this team. I think Zach Robinson did a great job in his first year at offensive coordinator last year, and I think of this offense is poised to just be absolutely explosive this year. Michael Penix, he's surrounded with a ton of talent. Now, the one thing I am a little bit worried about is their starting right tackle, Caleb McGarry, did go down with a torn patellar tendon and will be out for the season. So I'm interested to see what they'll do there and how the O-line will hold up. But, I mean, Penix is surrounded with a ton of talent, and he showed a lot of promise at the end of last season, the last three games. You know, took the Commanders to overtime on Sunday Night Football, and they should have won that game if their kicker didn't suck. You know, and put up a ton of numbers against the Panthers in Week 18, and also had a statement win against the Giants. And I'm just really excited about this team overall this year. I think Penix is going to have a huge year. London in the past game, Mooney in the past game. I think Kyle Pitts is going to have a little bit of a bounce back year. I know that people like to say this is Kyle Pitts' breakout year every year, but I think this year he actually does have a solid chance. Obviously, I think Bijan, I think he's Offensive Player of the Year this year. Bijan, he's the best running back in the league, most explosive back in the league. I think he could easily go for upwards of 1,800 yards this year. Now, I don't love the Falcons on defense. I do like the additions of Jalen Walker and James Pierce in the first round. So I think that pass rush is going to be a little bit bolstered. They are going to have two rookie starters at defensive back, Billy Bowman starting at nickel, and Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame starting at strong safety. So I don't know how their DBs are going to hold up. I do like that they have A.J. Terrell and Jesse Bates back there. And I do like that Mike Hughes is back. But, you know, I think they're really a wild card team. They have a really high ceiling with a really low floor. I think they could be as bad as, you know, 7-10 or as good as, you know, potentially 11-6 or 12-5. So I think my record prediction for the Falcons this year is going to be 10-7. But I think it could go upwards in either direction. So yeah, give me the Falcons.
It's always Kyle Pitts' breakout year. I mean, fantasy, you have to draft him just in case, but then he's going to put up 3 points. So Saquon is the best back in the league. I don't know. This is a little biased, maybe. I don't know. No, my second team is the Arizona Cardinals. I feel like they could win the NFC West this year easily, and they can also just as well be last. I mean, Kyler Murray is healthy the whole this season. I mean, he's entering it healthy. He can run, he can throw, he can do everything they need to do. And the Cardinals are glad to have stability at quarterback. They have Marvin Harrison. They have a good offense. They have Trey McBride. Marvin Harrison can be that number one receiver. We didn't see a lot of use out of him last year, which was kind of confusing. I mean, he was a big fantasy pick. He was a big expectations on him. And then they just didn't really scheme around Marvin Harrison. It was weird. Trey McBride is a top five tight end in the league right now. Brock Bowers, him, are really good in fantasy, really good just a game. Last year didn't catch touchdowns. I don't know. It's interesting. The offensive line has gotten much better, and they're hopefully going to be able to give Kyler Murray more time in the pocket. Jonathan Gannon's defense is going to get a lot better this year. It's year two. It's going to be quicker. It's going to be deeper. It's just going to – people are going to step up. Buda Baker is stepping up, leading the secondary. B.J. Ujulari is stepping up. And they're more confident after last year. They had a pretty good – they had a solid season. But this year they believe they can do more, and I think they can too. A lot of analysts say they have the 10th easiest schedule. That makes it even more likely they have a hot start and keep it rolling. I think they can win 10 games for sure. I wouldn't put it past them to not be in the playoffs, but I think they could definitely be in the wild card. I don't think they'll get out of it, but I think they'll be 10-7.
All right, now moving on to our award predictions. We're going to be quick with this one. We're just going to go award by award real quick, and I'm going to give you my predictions first, then Brett will follow up. All right, so starting off with MVP. I think it's going to be a close race between a few guys, but I think I'm going to give the edge to Joe Burrow this year. I think he's poised for a huge year. Obviously, all that offensive talent surrounding him. I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to have another huge year as well. But, yeah, give me Joe Burrow. I think he throws for 5,000 yards this year. Moving on to Offensive Player of the Year, give me Bijan. You know, I think Bijan, he's one of the best run-blocking O-lines in front of him. He's got great blocking on the perimeter from Drake London. Great blocking from Charlie Warner, and give me Bijan. I think he runs for potentially upwards of 1,800 yards, maybe even 2,000 yards this year. And I think he's going to cement himself as the best back in the league this year. Moving on to Defensive Player of the Year, I think this is going to be a really close race between a lot of guys, but I think I'm going to go with a really big year from Aiden Hutchinson with the Lions. I think he's really going to prove himself to be one of the top edge rushers coming off of that leg injury last year. I think Aiden Hutchinson potentially gets upwards of, 17, 18 sacks. And, yeah, I think Aiden Hutchinson is going to be a guy this year. And I think he takes home Defensive Player of the Year. And Comeback Player of the Year, I think, is going to go to Aiden Hutchinson as well, coming off of that injury. I think he sweeps both awards. So, moving on to Brett.
Oh, wow. Okay. Didn't know we were doing that. I like Joe Burrow a lot. I feel like his defense is going to be there. And some of the MVP is being able to win games. And that doesn't rely on him for his defense, but it also matters about your team's record. I feel like Lamar Jackson's winning the MVP this year. He'll be back to MVP form. He has offense. He has the defense around him, and he can win games. Offensive Player of the Year, Ja'Marr Chase won it last year. I think he could do the exact same thing again. I don't hate Bijan being Offensive Player of the Year. I think it's a possibility. It just depends how the Falcons use him and how teams will scheme around him defensively. Defensive Player of the Year, I like Will Anderson a lot. I don't know his production. I think he could have 15 to 18 sacks. I think he's one of the best young edge rushers in the league right now. Micah Parsons is also a player who could win it, but he hasn't really been up to that level yet. And I don't know if he'll take that leap in Green Bay or not. The new award, the Protector of the Year, I think Penei Sewell is one of the best offensive tackles in the league, and he'll win that award. Offensive Rookie of the Year, I like Ashton Gentry a lot. I don't know how they'll work it out. I don't know if Travis Hunter is going to win both. I don't know if he'll win one. I don't know how he'll play, but I think he could definitely win Offensive and Defensive Rookie of the Year somehow. But I think Ashton Gentry is probably the best pick for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Defensive Rookie of the Year, it has to be Abdul Carter. He's one of the best rookie edge rushers we've ever seen in a while. I mean, it's like Micah Parsons 2.0, and the Giants have him, and it should be a dominant year from him. Comeback Player of the Year, I agree. I think it'll be Aiden Hutchinson. I think that when he got hurt in the Cowboys game, I think he's just done a big season for him, and this looks like a better season, so we'll see. I think Coach of the Year is going to be Ben Johnson. If Caleb Williams can deliver in his offense, they're going to be a 10-win team.
All right, and to finish off my awards, for Protector of the Year, I'm going to go with Lane Johnson. I know he's getting up there with age, but I think he's going to be really good this year. Offensive Rookie of the Year, y'all might think this is a little bit of a shocker, but I'm actually going to go with an offensive lineman. I'm going to go with Will Campbell with the Patriots. I think he's going to cement himself as a top three tackle in the league this year, and I think he really could be the first lineman to take home Offensive Rookie of the Year. So, yeah, give me Will Campbell with the Patriots. And moving on to Defensive Rookie of the Year, I think I got to go with James Pierce Jr. He showed a lot of promise in the preseason. He led the league in pressures in the preseason, and I think James Pierce is really going to be a guy. I think he's going to be more of that true edge rusher than Jalen Walker. I think that's going to set him up for a lot of success. I think he's potentially getting double-digit sacks this year, and, yeah, I'm going to go with James Pierce, Defensive Rookie of the Year. And last but not least, Coach of the Year.
Let me guess, Raheem Morris.
Nope. I'm going to give it to Ben Johnson. I think if the Bears can put it together this year, I think Ben Johnson wins that award. And with that, that'll close out the first episode of No Flags, No Filter. I'm Owen Masucci.
I'm Brett Jenks.
And it was a pleasure to have y'all listen today.
Thank you.
And we will be back next week for our NFL Week 1 review and our Week 2 preview. Y'all have a good one.